Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 26 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Yeltaka, and we are going to do things a little bit differently today. And I'm going to tell you what that is and the reasons why. So here we go. Now, as you know, I have not put up a podcast for probably 5 weeks. So way behind on the podcast. And the reason for that is I've been working almost every weekend for the CCFR, whether it's travel or anything else, for the past 5 or 6 weeks. And it's been absolutely grueling. To be honest, I'm pretty burned out because I have to work all week, obviously, for the CCFR. And then I have to spend some of the weekday time getting ready to travel all weekend for the CCFR and do everything else that I have to do there. And then, of course, work all the way through the week. So it's been nonstop. As a result, I'm behind on the podcast. I was also behind on uploading the video for the winner of our Ultimate Choice 2 contest to our YouTube channel, and also announcing that via officially a podcast, which I'll do today. I'm also going to have the conversation, the telephone conversation, where I told our winner, Mike McIver of just outside of Red Deer, Alberta. I will have the phone call where I announce that if you haven't heard that already. Also, I uploaded the video to our YouTube channel, so you can always check that out. That video was released when we released the winner in our Facebook group, but I did not put it up on our YouTube channel. It's up there now. So I got a couple of emails about that, that we didn't do a widespread announcement. So anyway, now that that's done, we can move on. I'm also going to have a conversation with Tracy Wilson that I had quite a few weeks ago. I've made actually 3 attempts to do episode 26 of the podcast, but the problem is when I get halfway through and I got to do something else and I come back to it, all of the material is dated and then I have to start again. So that's why this time around, I'm just going to give you the update and we're going to play a couple of segments for you. And that's it for this episode. It's probably still going to be, you know, whatever, 30, 40 minutes, just because there's so much to talk about. All right. Quick CCFR update. I want to share that with you. So number one, first, thank you to everybody for your support. The CCFR, our funding is going well. Obviously, we don't have as much money to do everything that we want to do, but that takes time and it takes the CCFR growing. So if you know another gun owner, make sure you tell them that they need to get involved. They need to protect their own ability to own and use firearms because nobody else is going to do it for you. We are in like red alert as gun owners right now. We are under attack from every direction. And I think I said in another podcast, I feel like I'm saying that every time because it's true. So, and I'm going to give you an update about that in a second too. So make sure that you spread the word, get people to become members of the CCFR, get them to just stand up for their own rights. We need everyone in this fight, especially hunters who are not known for being activists. We need to get them involved. That's a big deal too. So having said that, thanks for all your support. Really appreciate it. We couldn't do any of this stuff without you. Now, speaking of what your support does, I'm going to read you the quick list as best I can of what we've got accomplished in the last 6 months for CCFR members. So we've held 2 fully promoted press conferences on Parliament Hill. That's actually in Center Block, and both of them were featured on CPAC. We actually professionally filmed the last one, and I'm going to get that video up and running and uploaded to the YouTube channel so you can have a good quality version of our last press conference. I think we're going to try to do that every single time now because it's nicer to have a better quality version of that. So we've done that, and that is actually getting us a lot of media attention. The firearms lobby is actually speaking in front of the public and in front of the press on a regular basis now. So look forward to a lot more of that. We testified as expert witnesses against Bill C-71 before the Standing Committee on Safety and National Security. As you guys probably know, we conducted over 50 media interviews in the last 6 months, including that syndicated CBC interview where we did 23 interviews between Tracy Wilson and I in 3 hours. We produced 9 social media political video ads that have been seen over 500,000 times in Canada alone. We produced and sponsored several political meme ads. They've been viewed and shared over 100,000 times through various means. So we're really getting the word out on this stuff, and there's more of that to come, by the way. We promoted the parliamentary e-petition 1608, which was the second most signed e-petition in Canadian history. We just helped promote that. And speaking of which, Ryan Slingerland, who was the individual that sponsored it, and Rachel Harder, who was the MP that sponsored that petition, all of the CCFR members, well, not all of them, but a select number of CCFR members all donated money to buy Ryan a lifetime membership to the CCFR. So it's not an honorary membership. It's a real one. And so that's huge. It helped the CCFR and it gave Ryan Slingerland a lifetime membership to the CCFR. And I will, this is an opportunity for me to tell you how overworked I was. I did an interview with Ryan. So, and it was great. And he was excellent in it, by the way. I think he's 15 years old. And it was like I was talking to somebody that was in their 20s. He was really, really good. So look forward to him being politically involved, I think, in his life. But anyway, I finally got to sit down and have this interview with him. It went great. I told him about the lifetime membership. He was thrilled with that, which was really awesome. I didn't know how he'd react. He'd be like, oh, yeah, that's cool or whatever. It was really gracious. And then when I started working on one of the previous versions of episode 26, I deleted the stinking interview. So that's how distracted I am right now. And I don't make mistakes very often where I'll dwell on them and I'll be really frustrated, but that really made me angry at myself. Anyway, just the worst thing that could possibly have happened. So I would have had a great interview with Ryan. It's just not going to happen now. So, hopefully I can get him cornered for an interview another time and we can talk about some other stuff that he gets involved with because he's going to be quite a great activist in his life. So anyway, there's a good example of how crazy it is at the CCFR. We also hosted a roundtable event on Parliament Hill attended by 7 MPs and staffers. We funded multiple town hall events with MPs and the public around the country against Bill C-71. We met with 3 members of the Senate, which is the last process for C-71, and that was just a couple of weeks ago when I was in Ottawa for 5 days. We produced bi-weekly podcasts other than the last few weeks, try to keep people informed. I think the podcast is a really great tool for that. So that's what we've been trying to get done. We attended the Conservative Party of Canada convention in Halifax to make sure that the gun lobby was there and our voice was heard. At that time, we were also featured on the front page of the Halifax Star during the attendance at our CPC convention. And it was like a 5-page story about us. It was pretty cool. We were also labeled the Canadian NRA by the Liberal Party of Canada. I actually consider that to be quite an accomplishment. As they think that we're that influential, our policies certainly aren't what the NRAs are, but I wouldn't expect the Liberal Party of Canada to know the difference. But anyway, that's pretty cool. We completed the filming for Canada Downrange just a few weeks back, about a month back, and now it's in editing. And hopefully, just a quick update on the TV show while I'm at it. Hopefully, our show will be out at the end of November. So it was delayed a little bit. For a variety of reasons, the overwhelming majority beyond my control. But anyway, it's still happening and look forward to that being on WOW TV towards the end of the month. I'll make a separate announcement about that. We also provided speaking points, an essay upon request for opposition to debates against Bill C-71 in the Senate, which we provided. We also participated, or I did, in by invitation for the government's national roundtable on the proposed ban on handguns and assault weapons. And that was this past weekend, so weekend before. So that was interesting. I'm going to give you a separate report on that. So there's just a ton of stuff that we've been up to, and none of it could be possible without everybody supporting us. So that is a lot of work, and the majority of that stuff is in the last few months. And there's a lot more to come. There's some really exciting projects that we can now fund because of you guys supporting us. And wait till you see what those are. They're really interesting. So anyway, I can't say thank you enough. Okay, a quick report on the roundtable from Minister Bill Blair. The roundtable, I have to say a quick shout out to the coat of arms guys, Doug and Corey, for making a video of my thoughts before the roundtable and my thoughts after the roundtable. And you can find that video if you go to YouTube and you search for Code of Arms. You'll find the Code of Arms YouTube channel. Subscribe to that and you'll find the video, and it's got my name in it and the gun ban thing in there as well. So check that out. Oh, wait a second. I got the title right here. Stand by. It's A Handgun Ban a private affair. CCFR's Rod Giltaka opens the door. Okay, so check out that video from Coat of Arms. Really great, and really appreciate those guys. They're really great supporters, and I'm privileged to work with those two guys. So show them a little bit of support by subscribing to their channel. So the roundtable, it was really difficult to actually get into it. It was not handled very professionally. The logistics weren't great. When I finally did get into the meeting, I thought the meeting was better than I expected. There was a really great conversation. There was some dishonesty there. I called it out personally. I actually had quite a bit of an opportunity to speak, and I was really happy with that. The group was relatively small. They're doing two of these meetings per day, so two separate groups per day per location. I was in there with the matriarch of gun control. I tweeted about this too. And this individual, the reason why I'm being vague is, let me back up, is that the minister asked, I guess through the mediator, that no attribution be made to anything anyone said in the room. So basically what that means is you can talk about what was said, but don't say to out in public who said these things. And the reason for that is they wanted everyone to speak freely. And I'm like, yeah, I'm totally okay with that. I want people to speak freely without, you know, having repercussions. So, you know, let's say somebody that was pro-gun said something like, yeah, I think this is reasonable. They don't want to be, you know, crucified out in the public for agreeing to anything that even resembles gun control if they thought it could stave off a ban. You know, it's a compromise thing. So I get it. And they also didn't want anybody that was anti-gun to say, you know what, the pro-gun people, they got a point. You know, we wanted honesty. So there wasn't a lot of compromising on the pro-gun side, which is good. The line is way too far. We're trapped behind the line too much as it is. The line only goes one way for us now. But there was a lot of really good, honest conversation. And so when I say the matriarch of gun control, I think you know who I mean there. But this person said, the evidence, I'm a researcher, I'm a doctor, and the evidence is clear. More guns basically mean more death, more gun crime. And I called that out as absolutely false, and it is. It's an absolute balls out lie. And it's a lie that this individual perpetrates constantly. Just so you know, just a little help, debating help here. If someone says that and says the evidence is clear, that couldn't be further from the truth. There are societies that have very strict gun control that still have gun crime, or even areas or jurisdictions. And there are areas that have no gun control whatsoever that have low gun crime. So I'll give you an example. And these are the examples I used. I said, well, in the United States, gun ownership has doubled in 20 years. It went from 150 million guns to over 300 million guns, man, in the United States. Yet violent crime has been reduced by 50% over that same period. And that's the FBI's own numbers. So how the hell can you make that connection? That more guns equal more gun crime. It's ridiculous. And then the other one I used is the UK, London, in 2017 has seen a 42% rise in gun crime. I thought there was a gun ban there. So that should be impossible. So there's all kinds of different, you can use a million different examples. Mexico has extremely strict firearm regulations, but there's, what do they have, like 60,000 murders a year? And a lot of them with firearms? Well, how can that be possible? So we know that there's other factors. There's socioeconomic factors. There's other political factors. There's all kinds of factors that determine whether there's going to be gun violence or violence in general, right? So anyway, just something you guys should keep in the forefront of your mind. So so overall, the roundtable was fine. I just, the conversation was so honest, other than a few transgressions by that particular individual, that I couldn't see the government supporting a ban on anything. I just couldn't see it. It doesn't make sense. And it would be totally contrary to the consensus formed in the room. So that leads me to believe that the government has already made up its mind one way or the other. And this is just a formality. This is a farce. So I appreciate being part of that conversation. I think if we want to reduce violence, if the government sponsored a lot of those conversations and they were honest and we formed policies around the results of those conversations, we would not have violence problems in Canada. But, you know, that's me being optimistic. Wouldn't that be great if the government conducted itself that way instead of just as a political entity? So anyway, that's my read on the roundtable. The Ultimate Choice Contest, the Ultimate Choice 2 contest. The winner was Mike McIver, as I mentioned, from just outside of Red Deer, Alberta. I'm going to play my phone call with Mike in a couple of minutes. There's music over it because it's just, I'm just extracting it from the video, the YouTube video that I made. And that's that. You can watch that video, as I mentioned, on the CCFR channel, or you can listen to it here, but just deal with the music because it's from a video. I'm also going to play a conversation with Tracy Wilson, as I mentioned. It's a little bit dated, but I think it's still a cool conversation. So that's the update for now. I'm going to cut it off. I've been blabbering nonstop, and I hate even listening to myself do that. I don't even know why I do the podcast, really. But hopefully it was instructive. And you know that we're all just killing ourselves over here trying to make it as difficult for the government as possible to pass gun control legislation or bans or whatever without being called out as loudly as we possibly can. So thanks for your support. Stay tuned for the talk with Tracy Wilson, and then right after that, the talk with Mike McIver. All right, on the phone we have the ferocious Tracy Wilson. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Rod. Ferocious.
The eviscerator.
Yes, you know it.
Anyway, so I'm going to try to make this quick, and I know you've got another appointment to go to. So I thought we would just kind of chat a little bit about what we've been up to, and especially the trip that we took over to Toronto, over to Woodstock.
Yeah, that was a great time. So we headed over to Select Shooting Supplies Range Day, which is a super fun event. It's sort of a buy it before you try it. He's got all kinds of manufacturers there. Vortex was there with all their super fancy scopes, and it's a lot of fun. So we had a lot of people out. And there was kids, families, people of all ages, and it was it had a sort of a fair feeling to it. Like, I don't know, the people were great. It had an awesome vibe going on. And Black Rifle Coffee Company was there. They also had a food truck, which was great. And lots of beautiful guns, happy people, some sunshine. It was a great day.
Cool. It was an interesting thing. Now you say a fair, not a freak show, not a traveling freak show, a fair though.
No, okay. No, like a fun family fair. Yes. Right. Yeah.
There was I actually wanted to just kind of talk about some of the stuff we've been up to, but I will make a couple of comments real quick. I got to shoot that WK-180, the Kodiak
you
Defense
did.
Thing. And it was interesting. I'm not going to do a review on it or anything like that right now or anything, but it's nice to have an AR-ish non-restricted. And then the most intriguing guns there was that, do you remember, it was that 9mm thing we were shooting?
The 9mm little rifle. Yeah, that was super cool.
Like Freedom Arms or Freedom Industries or something. But anyway, if you go to Select Shooting Supplies website, I'm sure they'll have something there. But it was a 9mm AR-ish thing that used Glock mags, and it was, you know, I've got a sub 2000. It's actually really ugly to shoot. It folds in half and it's non-restricted. That's the big that's the attraction. But this thing was actually super smooth. It had a buffer tube in it like an AR. It was just the neatest little gun. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I can rant and rave about that all day. But every once in a while, I get to shoot a gun, you know?
Yeah, it's not very often for us.
And at least I got to pose with an M60, one of the M60s that was in First Blood. So that's not bad.
Yeah, that was very neat. The Canadian Historical Arms Museum was there with their machine gun display. So. Mm. Yeah, of course, Rod went full Rod over that stuff. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Did you post that picture to the main group?
Yes, I did. Not the crazy one, but the good one. Yeah. And I think it's got about, 180 likes right now. So people are loving it. I'm gauging your entire popularity on likes.
You know what? That picture is going to show up in the paper sometime. It'll be like firearm rights advocate, claims that criminals aren't, and they'll have that. That's me.
Of course they will. Of course they will. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of shooting guns, we've been super busy over at the ladies program. So the Kellys and Yolanda and all the other ladies, we've been hosting these ladies' range days all over the country. We had one here in Ottawa, which we also filmed that for Canada Downrange. So you can watch for maybe a snippet of that. We also did one in Napanee, which is over by Kingston here in Ontario. And then Yolanda hosted a huge one out in Saskatchewan. And I believe Wayne Galley and the guys put one on out east. So we've been really bringing a lot of new shooters into the sport, which is great. I always try and attract, you know, the soccer moms and, you know, maybe the people who might be debating online. I encourage them to take lots of pictures and they come out with their girlfriends and have a great time. So those have been going really well. I got to say the CCFR really is leading the way with the women's programs. So
that's really important work.
Yeah, it really is. And these aren't, you know, easy events to put on. There's a lot involved in them and it's long days for the volunteers, but the smiling faces are so worth it. And I always, you know, catch them on their way out, do a little interview with them. What was your favorite part? And, you know, it's fun. You have some grandmas in there, some soccer moms, and just people who maybe wouldn't normally get the opportunity to try shooting a gun, right? They've got no license and no experience. And that's perfect. That's the ones we want. We want them to come out, give it a go, see what they think, and maybe change some minds.
And that's consistent with the mandate of the CCFR, which is as a public relations organization. And these are the people that would be against us, right? In an election cycle or in the general debate.
Well, yeah, and I encourage them to take a lot of photos of each other and then post them on social media.
Yeah, talk about
and
it.
And the reason for that is to get a conversation going, because these are not your typical gun owners or people who are already immersed in the culture, right? These are new people who are out trying it, and a lot of them come afraid, and they leave just having the time of their life. So we've got girls that are emailing in all the time asking when we can do it again. So those are just a huge success. A real feel-good thing, and I think it's important to get to that different audience. So, kudos to the Kellys; they're doing a great job.
Yeah, and the one that was that Yolanda did, I think that's going to be on the TV show.
I think so too. Yeah, she had the crew from Wild TV out there.
Yeah,
so.
And then I think we had someone, a videographer, capture some stuff from the one that you did in Ottawa.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been doing that, and another neat project I've been working on, this one you won't see on the TV show, but you may have seen me posting about it, and that are the that's the C-71 town halls. So those have been a really vital part of this process. I know that it's one of those things with the majority government, it's going to be very difficult to stop. But the problem is a lot of people in our community don't even know what C-71 is, or they want to come out and debate it, right? And I think it's an opportunity for people of, you know, throughout the community to come out. So we've done a couple with Glenn Motz, who is the Deputy Shadow Minister for Public Safety. And we've got a couple going with Bob Zimmer, actually. We've got one this Friday in Prince George. So if you're listening and you're in the Prince George area, make sure you look for it. I'll repost it and freshen it up. So we try and hold them at gun clubs or wherever. We've got volunteers there. We always serve coffee. We've got chairs there. And it's an opportunity to get these MPs in a little more personal of a situation. I know we've been getting people to write their MPs or call their constituency offices, but this is a way to get face-to-face and have a great conversation. So those have been a lot of work, but I think they're valuable. We're going to continue doing we've got a couple more, and we'll take it from there. And we have offered ourselves up to a lot of the other MPs working on this file as a resource. And I know with hunting season approaching, it's a bit challenging, but that's been a neat little side project.
Speaking of town halls.
Yeah. So Sunday, after I dropped you off at the airport, I made my way over into Toronto and attended the Toronto Town Hall on gun violence. And Bill Blair, Minister Bill Blair, was there speaking. You know, I can see sort of how this public consultation is going to go.
The consultations,
in quotes, air quotes. But I was almost more surprised there wasn't more vetting at the door. So I would almost anticipate that going forward, unfortunately. But they did let us in, and we weren't there was no opportunity for people from the audience to actually speak. So there was no microphone in the aisle or things that you would typically see at a town hall. This was basically a speaking opportunity for their selected panel. And then there was question cards handed out. So you had to pre-fill them out and hand them back to the organizers, who took them up on the stage, gave them to the two MPs that were hosting, and they vetted them and used the ones they wanted. So I think we had about 35 people, 35, maybe 40 gun owners there. And we basically all put a very similar type of question just to see if we could, you know, get it read, and it wasn't. So there's some super careful vetting going on there, as well as there was some misinformation still being, you know, put out to the community. Bill Blair still trying to work off that 50% domestically sourced crime gun stat that has been completely debunked. So that was disappointing. And, you know, normally I conduct myself in a really professional manner at these things, but I did have to speak up at that point, and I said, Bill, I've got it right here, and that is a lie. So he did answer me, he responded to me, and, you know, he sort of gave a little bit on it and then just skimmed over the topic, like, you know, well, we're not entirely sure, and that's up for debate, and let's move on. So it's not an opportunity. Sorry, I'm fighting off a cold here. It's not an opportunity to have a two-way rational debate with facts and conversation. It's an opportunity for you to go and hear their pre-planned, pre-written speeches on what they want you to know and what they're going to do.
So, a consultation, hey?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, it's funny because it reminds me of during the SECU, the committee meetings for C-71, when Minister Goodale said that he had done many consultations with the gun community. And I think it was Larry Miller who put forward a motion asking for Goodale to release the list of people consulted. And funny enough, I was on that list. I think Tony Bernardo, there was a couple other people. And we've all said, no, we were absolutely not consulted. And I just wish we had a little more honesty in our government. It's pretty depressing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I actually addressed that on my interview today for the station in Montreal. Did you have a chance to hear it yet or no?
No, I haven't got a chance to hear it yet.
But they've already uploaded it as an individual interview.
Oh, nice. So, okay, we'll get that out on the page for all the listeners too.
Yeah, well, I captured it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start, instead of the podcast, I'm start releasing more content called like CCFR interview. And then I'm going to post the one that you did with CBC. I'm going to post the one I did with Mike Farwell.
Yep.
And
yep,
I'm going to post this one. And so that people get these interviews right into their phone or, you know, however they're listening to the podcast. So they'll be able to hear what we're doing. But all in all, I mean, just the list that you mentioned now, and the stuff that that I've talked about or I'm going to talk about in the podcast, it's just we're working ourselves to death over here.
Oh, yeah. Well, even speaking of C-71, last week I got a phone call. And to be honest, I work from home and I wasn't exactly prepared. But I got a call that Rachel Harder was going to be doing her press conference, which came on the heels of her presenting the parliamentary e-petition asking the federal government to scrap C-71, which received, by the way, 86,000 plus signatures. So it's the second most signed parliamentary e-petition ever. So she presented that to the House of Commons. So, of course, there's the formality of waiting for an official response from the government, which will be to tell her to go take a hike. And then immediately after that, I was in the members' lounge, which is in those back doors when you see them leave the House of Commons, out those back doors, that's where they go. There's a lounge there. So we were back there and we went with Rachel and CPC leader Andrew Scheer out into the foyer, and they had a presser there. They had a little press conference. The media was all there. Rachel spoke to her petition, which was great. She's doing a good job. And then Andrew actually spoke to the media, and he fully committed to repealing C-71 in its entirety and then maybe replacing it with legislation that targets the actual problem. So gangs and criminals and, you know, where the effort should be focused if we want to see a positive effect on public safety. So that was kind of an interesting thing. I ran down, that's the benefit of me being right here in Ottawa. I jumped into a blazer and I ran downtown really quickly, and I was able to join Andrew at the press conference and then speak to them afterwards back into the members lounge. So, you know, it's really important and vital that we are make ourselves available to these things, offer our support to politicians that want to create fair legislation for gun owners. And we're literally everywhere. I think I'm looking at my calendar. I don't have a weekend off until after Remembrance Day. So there's just, it's just crazy. It's wild.
Me neither. I'm headed to Calgary tomorrow to do some filming and to meet with a very important person in the firearms community, and also to do to shoot some prohibs for the TV show at the Calgary Shooting Center. And
oh, that sounds like terrible work, Rod. Yeah, oh,
well, I don't know if there's going to be any full autos or not, but you know, some of the, we're going to shoot the Thompson. They have a Thompson there, and you know, it's a great example of like, why the heck is this prohibited, man? It's a semi-auto, heavy old thing, only has historical significance. It's not a dangerous gun. It's a 45 ACP. So anyway, hopefully we can get that across in the show. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, that'll took
me,
be cool.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it took me 15 hours a couple nights ago to get from Toronto back to Abbotsford, British Columbia.
Oh, I know. What a nightmare.
It was insane. But anyway, we're still cranking away, and we got a lot of really cool stuff coming up. But anyway, I think we've gone long enough. I really appreciate you coming on and at least helping me do a CCFR update, because I probably only talk about 10% of the stuff that we do, because once it's done, I don't even remember it. I'm on this.
Well, I know. There's so much. And the listeners should be following on the CCFR Facebook page. And you can also join our group. It's huge and it's super active. And we are just pumping out the content and information all day, every day.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, great. Great. Thanks, Rod.
All right, Wilson.
Take care.
Yeah, bye. I finally got a hold of Mike. It took 4 days to get a hold of Mike to tell him that he won. Now, ideally, I'd like to call someone, have them pick up the phone and find out that they won very spontaneously. But unfortunately, I had to leave Mike a message. So he sort of got tipped off a little bit. He had a suspicion, it seems. But anyway, I've got the phone call for you coming up right now. But before I play that for you, I have to say thanks to Ryan Harriman over at SFRC, otherwise known as the AmmoSource.com, for putting together these great prize packs. And Ryan's been a really good partner of ours, so thank you, Ryan, for that. AmmoSource, the AmmoSource.com, so check that out. And here's the call with Mike.
This is Rod.
Hi, Rod. My name's Mike McIver. I am returning your call and email.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fabulous. What can I do for you?
Well, it's an interesting thing. I think I left my full name on the voicemail, didn't I?
Nope, just Rod. I kind of recognized your voice, though, and then I saw your email yesterday when I got home, so.
Okay, one second. Let me just make sure this is, yeah, that's working. Okay, so Mike, it's Rod Giltacka from the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights.
Yes, sir.
I seem to remember I've seen your name somewhere. You entered a contest, the Ultimate Choice 2 contest.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, well, you won.
You had a town.
Yep.
You're kidding me.
You won. You won $8,500 worth of guns.
Holy crap.
Congratulations. Oh,
I'm flabbergasted. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Now, if you remember the contest, you had three choices of prize packages. Which one are you going to choose?
I don't remember what they were.
Okay.
Can you give me a quick synopsis? I seem to remember there being a long-range package.
Okay, so there's three packages. There's the Hunter's package, the Tactical package, and the Long-Range package. The long-range package has a KDEX CDX R7 Sheepdog in black in 6.5 Creedmoor. You'd get a Leupold Mark 6 3-18x44 scope, plus rings, and 100 rounds of Hornady 6.5 Creedmoor ammo. So if you're a long range guy, that would be a good package.
So I think I'm going to go with the long range.
The long range, you're going to have yourself a KDEX sheepdog in 6.5 Creedmoor. Not too bad, hey?
No, that's friggin' awesome. I'm actually right in the process of building a 6.5 Creedmoor. I've got the action in the barrel. I don't have saving up for the KDEX for the chassis. So this is quite fortuitous.
Now you can allocate those resources elsewhere.
I can so.
Well,
and ammunition probably.
Yeah, well, you're going to get 100 rounds of 6.5 with that Hornady stuff. So
that's awesome.
Well, anyway, what I will do is, first, I'll thank you for your support of the CCFR. I really appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad you won. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, you just made my day, Rod. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks to everybody who entered. I really appreciate the support. Everybody at the CCFR appreciates that, because without you, and I've said it before, I know, but without you guys, there is no CCFR. So thanks again for your support. Check out theammosource.com, SFRC. That's Ryan Herrmann's place. And we will see you all soon. All right, everybody, thanks for listening to episode 26 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Please continue your support of the CCFR. Please reach out to people, especially hunters who aren't known for being politically active. Get those hunters on board. We all need to stand up for our own ability to own and use firearms, and we need everybody on board. At the outset of the show, I told you guys a list of what we've done in the last 6 months as CCFR members. You know, based on the funding level that we have today, can you imagine if 10% of gun owners in Canada were CCFR members? We're working on probably 0.5% of gun owners being members of the CCFR, even less than that. And look at what we've accomplished. So try to get everybody you can on board. There will be new CCFR clothing in the next month and a half in the store. So make sure you check that out. I'll make an official announcement about that. That's another great way that you can support the CCFR. Buy something from the store. So we really appreciate that. And that's it for now. So again, thanks for this, for hanging out with us and listening to this episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. We'll see you next time and take care.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.